Finally this week, we visited the National Portrait Gallery's exhibition of portraits by Percy Wyndham Lewis. Wyndham Lewis is one of those modernists whose fame has been complicated by notoriety. In the first half of the 20th century, he was one of the most energetic and interesting figures on the London art scene, a leading proponent of vorticism, a novelist, magazine publisher and theorist, who was closely associated with some of the greatest figures of the avant-garde, including T.S. Eliot and James Joyce. But Wyndham Lewis's reputation was tarnished by his early enthusiasm for Hitler and his dabbling with anti-Semitic ideas, although he later repudiated both, well before the Holocaust had brought home the truth to more obtuse right-wingers. A copy of his 1931 book Hitler, decorated with Wyndham Lewis's woodcut swastikas, features in the National Portrait Gallery exhibition. But the heart of the show is Lewis's portraits, which combined the angular geometry of vorticism with his own grasp of human character. Wyndham Lewis famously talked of burying Euclid deep in the living flesh. This exhibition includes many of his best-known portraits, including a 1938 portrait of T.S. Eliot, which caused a scandal at the time after it was rejected by the Royal Academy. Eliot, a friend and admirer of Wyndham Lewis, wrote to the painter saying that if posterity was at all interested, he would be very happy that this was the image it had of him. Gillian Slover, I think posterity definitely helps out with this show. It has pictures of people we are interested in looking at because of their achievements. Do you think the show makes a case for Wyndham Lewis as an artist who can sit alongside them rather than just in front of them?
I think the show makes a very good case for the curators of the show. I think it was very well done. And it's take a lot for me to warm to Wyndham Lewis. As the catalogue says, racist, misogynist, homophobic, who was also a fascist. But the number of famous, you know, T.S. Eliot, James Joyce, Virginia Woolf that is there means that you are seeing a world that existed between the two world wars. But actually, I think what the curators did was they at least made me reluctantly understand the Wyndham Lewis project. And I thought that was an interesting thing to do. I think the way that they structured it, the way that they divided it, and the way that they also talked about his illnesses and the fact that this was a man who was only interested in the surface but had an illness, which probably meant that he was more than one person at the same time, sort of made it interesting for me. I can't say I warmed him.
It ends with a very touching set of pictures, which are terrible because he went blind at the end. And there are two. There's a study for a portrait of T.S. Eliot and a picture of T.S. Eliot, which are just terrible pictures. But I think that does frame the rest of the thing, and I think his portrait of T.S. Eliot is a wonderful portrait. And you go back, I went back and looked at it. You're looking at Rye.
He begins with some rather terrible portraits as well. I didn't like Lewis's painting, and I think maybe you can probably forgive people most things if they're a great artist, but I think
you should just point out he did strongly renounce fascism, and he wrote books against anti-Semitism.
I think there's that kind of yearning for a kind of, you can see why he was attracted to fascism, because in the early work there's this kind of idea that somewhere in Europe there's something very exciting happening in art that's got loads of energy, that's very kind of sexy, and if only that was happening in England. And he's kind of willing it to happen on his own campus, and it's just not. He's imitating a kind of European cubism, and it's all style, and there were very few, only a couple of these pictures where I really felt that there was any real connection with the person who was sitting, rather than an exercise in style. Definitely, it's an exhibition where you want to buy the catalogue and read the catalogue, because as a man, he sounds complex and fascinating, and his narrative is interesting.
I must say, I thought his passion for fascism came more from a passion for offending people than it did for the object of, you know, whatever he was talking about. He just looked, basically, for the most shocking thing he could say. And he was a self-publicist, and he kind of went badly wrong in picking that one. Kit Davis, what about the pictures?
I think he was probably with, I just wanted to say that at the time, a kind of white supremacism and a penchant for fascism was really widespread. So in some ways, I think his capacity to be irritating had a lot to do with having lots of talent and not much money. And so wanting to be both taken up by people and patronized by them, and yet being as disagreeable as he could possibly manage so as not to be swallowed up by that system. What I found fascinating, because I had started out thinking, know as much as I want to know already, just those words, blah, blah, blah. But I was really galvanized by the drawings, not so much by the oil portraits, but I thought his capacity as a draftsman, his command of line, his way of thinking in the plane of the paper was quite remarkable. So he's looking at a human face, which is, as we know, is round. Or if you even try to make clothes, you realize the body is round and the fabric is flat. I think some of the drawings are quite amazing, and many of them are in private collections. They're spread all over the world. We won't have much opportunity to see these.
I agree with that. I think that the two ones that I most like were the two pencil portraits of the woman he had two children with, Iris Barry, which I think had a humanity in that he drove out of his oils.
Yeah, there's real humanity in the relationship with Iris Barry.
I think some of the oils are better than you're allowing as well. And I think the odd thing, I mean, it's a point made, well made in the catalogue, I think, that the oils are empathetic and kindly even, in a way that he never was in his prose. So he does Edith Sitwell, he makes look as beautiful as she surely ever looked, you know, much more beautiful than she is in a photograph. And yet he wrote kind of terribly mocking things about her. And there is a kind of kindness and warmth, but he can do his portrait of Rebecca West, I think, is sensational.
Yeah, portrait. I mean,
it's really alive. And it's alive because he doesn't get everything technically right. I went at the end of this show and walked down the other end to the current show they've got for the portrait competition, which is utterly dominated by a photographic notion of representation. And it's as dull as ditch water. I mean, you know, technically amazing. But after this exhibition, you just think it's sort of almost not art.
It is interesting, isn't it? And he seems to have also been able to do something with the women in his life, with the many women in his life. And I think the few that he had on Naomi Mitchison also had enormous amount of life in it. And what is interesting to me is that she, you know, the catalogue said, you know, I had to sleep with him in order to stop him talking. And you just know what she felt like having seen it.
I think he's better on women than he is on men. I've often found the pictures of the women had more life, and he seemed less sure of where he stood in relationship to the women.
But also fascinated, I think, by clever women, clever and kind of capable women. He finds that an interesting subject, you know, rather than being intimidated by it. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. The Wyndham Lewis exhibition continues at the National Portrait Gallery in London until the 19th of October. And that's all for this week. My thanks to Kit Davis, Mark Ravenhill, and Gillian Slovo.